Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Go with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. I've got about 30 minutes to get this message out. I was jogging a couple of weeks ago. I know it doesn't look like I do that, but I do. I was jogging, not really jogging, it's a walk and a jog. And the Lord spoke this to me. And man, I'm telling you, I had a time while I was jogging. And that was that out of my darkness, blessing was going to come. And so I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, I'm not afraid of the dark. And we're taking for as our text, and you know, if you haven't been here before, there's a app called YouVersion, Y-O-U version, and you can go to events and do a search for CRCOG, and you will have my notes that will be on the screen. You can have them on your phone or mobile device, and if you want them, because I'm going to be using several different passages of Scripture. But I begin to think about, and the Lord, I begin to think what I was going to call this message, and I believe that this is a word for somebody that I'm not afraid of the dark. 2 Timothy 1:7, our text says, "For God hath not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind." Now, I remember when the first roller coaster, my youngest daughter, who I delivered to college yesterday. So now we have empty nest syndrome, which what that really means is we get to party all the time now. But I remember the first roller coaster that she was on, and when we started to go up and it clicked, how many know what I'm talking about? It clicked, click, click, click. And she looked at me and she said, "For God hath not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Ain't that right, Daddy? I said, "That's right, baby." And she just began to quote that scripture to herself so that she wouldn't be fearful of what she was about to go through. So as we talk about today, I'm not afraid of the dark. There is a lot of people that is afraid of the dark. And I'm not telling you today to embrace the dark, because we sometimes think about darkness, the darkness as evil, or darkness as not a good place. But I am telling you that don't you be so afraid of the dark that you can't function in the dark, because God does some of His best work while you're in the dark. So I've come by to tell somebody today that you don't have to be afraid of where you are. Now, we as a country, and sadly as a Christian, seem to live in constant fear. And that is not God's will for your life. We live, what the terrorists want us to do is to live in fear and change our way of life. What the devil wants you to do is live in fear and not to be able to enjoy life. But Jesus said, "I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." And God didn't give you a spirit of fear, doesn't want you to operate in a spirit of fear, but He wants you to operate with power, a sound mind, and with love. Can you say amen? Fear is not always a bad thing. Fear is an adaptive, because it protects us. More importantly, it protected our ancestors. Our distant ancestors who were afraid of heights didn't fall off cliffs. Our ancestors who were fearful of wild animals didn't get eaten by a tiger. Those that could run fastest was able to survive because they outran some other folks who couldn't run so fast. They survived, and so it's a natural to be afraid of many of the things that we are afraid of. However, fear is the enemy's greatest tool to get you to back up, back down, and start worrying. If he can get you fearful of the future, fearful of tomorrow, fear has the power to paralyze. Now, I began to do a little research this past Thursday on fear. Let me give you some statistics. Now, you will have these statistics on YouVersion, I believe, but I don't have them on here. I couldn't fit them on the screen. Here's what it says, though. Fear and worry statistics. Are you ready? 60% of things feared will never take place. 30% of things feared that happened in the past can't be changed. 90% of things feared are considered to be insignificant issues. How many of us fear things and they never come to pass? That they're not significant. 88% of things feared in relation to health will not happen. How many people do you know, don't point at them, that they always worried that they got something that ain't never come on them? I mean, you feel anything. Oh, I think I have a tumor. Whoop, Arthur's trying to come on me. Last name, Ritus. Come on, somebody. 6.3 million Americans have been diagnosed with a phobia. And a phobia is defined as an unhealthy fear of whatever you want to put in there. Let me just give you top 10. Can I give that? Top 10 phobias in America, which completely blew me away. 74% of the top 10, 74% of the population have a fear of public speaking. Number one. 74% is called glossophobia. I'm not going to be able to pronounce all these things. 68% have a fear of death, necrophobia. Now, it drastically drops, number four, to 30% have a fear of spiders, arachnophobia. I think that I'm part of that. I don't like spiders and snakes. And that ain't what it takes to love me, because I want to be loved by you. Anyway. But the number four out of the top 10 is the fear of darkness. Wow. The fourth fear of darkness, 11% of the population have a fear of darkness. And I can't even pronounce it. Achluophobia or sacrotophobia. But then we have 10% have a fear of heights, number five. Number six, fear of people or social situations. Number seven, fear of flying. Number eight, fear of confined spaces, 2.5 Americans or 2.5% of the population. Here's one, number nine, fear of open spaces. 2.2%. Can you imagine having a fear of closed spaces and a fear of open spaces at the same time? That's just the way my mind goes. And then 2% of Americans have, the number 10 is the fear of thunder and lightning. They must live in Florida, because we're the lightning strike capital of the world. But let's talk about it for a moment. Point number one is simply this. Fear is the opposite of faith. And that's why the enemy wants you to operate in fear, because if he can get you to operate in fear, you're not operating in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. However, fear seems like to be, one author said, fear is an acronym that stands for false evidence appearing real. Now, fear attracts more fear. How many know what I'm talking about? You ever been, you know, when I was a kid, I remember that the church that where we attended, my dad pastored, was about 50 to 75 yards away from our house. And I would know that years ago, remember, I'm number 10 out of 11, and sometimes they would forget how many kids they had. And they would go home at night and leave me at the church asleep on the hard pew. And I would wake up and be in total darkness. Oh, it gets better. Because there was a there was a cemetery between the church and where we lived. And I remember several times, but one particular time, I went outside, I woke up, and everything was dark. There were no lights. I was like, oh my goodness. I walked outside, and I could see the porch light at our house. But I knew that there was a cemetery in between. And so I thought, I looked around, and I said, I'm going to make a run for it. And I began to run. And the more I began to run, the more fear came on me. And the more fearful I became, the harder I ran. And the harder I ran, the more fear came upon me. And before you know it, my fear had outrun my legs. And my body had outrun my little Oompa Loompa legs. And I fell in the dirt. But man, it didn't take me no time. I was back up on my feet like a cat running again as hard as I could run. Because fear attracts more fear. In Job chapter 3, verse 25, the Bible says, for the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. If you're not careful, you'll fear things so bad that you will attract them to you. If you're not secure in your relationship, in your marriage, you got to be careful because you will drive somebody crazy being afraid they're going to leave you. I already told my wife, honey, if you decide to leave me, let me know. Because I'm going to leave me too. I'm going to join you wherever you're going. When somebody is scared or fearful, it doesn't matter if it's real or not. It still has the power to paralyze you. Are you listening to me? The Word of God says that fear hath torment. Fear will torment you. That's part of anxiety. That's part of these things that come upon us, that we have a nation and a people that is just so fearful about what's going to happen. Let me tell you something. I don't care who you vote for. But they are not the answer. Trump is not the answer, and Hillary's not the answer, or any of the other candidates is not the answer. The answer is Jesus. The answer is great God Jehovah. The answer is that I've got to get my faith and my hope is not in the government of the United States. My faith and my hope is in Christ Jesus, in whom I live, move, and have my very being. Can you say amen? The Word of God says this in 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Well, Pastor, how do I conquer fear? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. How do I conquer this fear? Well, understand that once you are born again, you are delivered from fear. You got to understand that you have the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost at your disposal. You don't have to walk around being fearful. You know, when people are afraid of dying, and I'm not saying that we embrace dying early, but when people are afraid of dying, when you begin to understand, you know, the devil used to bring that on me every once in a while, because you know my two oldest brothers, one died at 61, one died at 58, and now that I'm 50, come on somebody, that ain't too far away. I'm like, hold up. And the devil goes, yeah, you're gonna die early. And I begin to turn it around. I'm like, ha, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Father. I got my affairs in order, and my wife's gonna be set up, my children gonna be set up, and I'm gonna be in heaven. So what you gonna do now? Do you know what? That eventually I don't even worry about dying anymore. Why? Because I turned it around on it. Because I understand that because I'm a child of God, I don't have to live in fear, because God did not give me a spirit of fear. Listen, most of our fear is based on the areas of our mind, and our scripture, our text says that he has given me a sound mind. And when your mind is sound, you know that you don't have to fear everything that comes down the pipe. You are a child of the living God, and he shall sustain you. He shall keep you, and he shall make you whole. Resist fear and refuse to allow it to dominate your life. realize that fear is based on selfishness. What? When you're fearful, it's about you. It's about you. So realize it's based on selfishness. Believe God's love for you. Meditate on His love. Actively receive God's love for you. Walk in the love of God daily. Love others unconditional, and even when it's difficult, continuously confess, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in me than he that stands against me. Take authority over your mind. You got to begin to understand the authority that you have as a believer. You don't have to have everything that comes down the pike. You can declare and receive the things that God has for you because you're a child of God. Now, fear can grip the heart of a person, or it can grip the heart of a nation. It can be created by what we know and what we don't know, right? How many people know too much information? You know, listen, if you are a nurse, you're probably the worst patient on the planet because you know too much. You know, and your mind just begins to go, and you know too much. But then there are some who don't know enough, and therefore they're all upset about things. I know this one lady, she came and I won't even tell you what it was, but she came and she was so distraught. And she told me, "Oh, Pastor, you got to pray." She was crying and everything. I thought something had really happened. And she told me what her diagnosis was. Well, she didn't tell me. She told the whole church. And I wish she had not have told the whole church what her diagnosis was, because it was a feminine situation and it was just a little thing. I thought, "Honey, a little antibiotics, clear that up. You'll be fine." But we had to calm her down. She just didn't know. "Oh, I'm dying." No, you're good. You're good, honey. Now, let's not ask prayer for this out in public again. Y'all think I'm kidding. Let's don't do that again. But you're fine, honey. Explain to her what's going to happen. And then I had to go on over here. See, it can be created by what we know and what we don't know. Motivated by false information or true information, it can either drive us or paralyze us. You ever been so afraid that you just got paralyzed? One of my mentors, he's dead now, but he scared me one night, and it didn't paralyze me, it drove me. Because I didn't know he was there, and he scared me, and I punched him in his face. He jumped out and scared me, and I turned around and punched him in his grill. He was like, "Ah, it's me, it's me." I was like, "Man, you can't do that." But then there are some people you scare. How many people have you seen that it scared, and they were just paralyzed? Him. Everybody on staff's thinking about him. He's the easiest person to scare on the planet. He'll come in and sit in the sound booth and do some work, and it's daylight. It's daytime. And I just come around the corner to say something to him, and I go, "Hey, Josh." "Ah!" God forbid when I try to scare him. It's hilarious. And it happens every day. Several times a day, as a matter of fact. And so his brother, who is 6'5", is the same way. Every Sunday morning, I get here first. But usually he'll go into the kitchen and begin to put stuff together. And I'll come in and I'll go, "Hey, John." "Ah!" So I begin to start thinking, how can I let him know I'm here without scaring him? So I'll knock on the door. "Oh." If I just walk up on him, "Oh." That's the way some people are. They operate in fear. And I'm not saying he does, but it's so easy to scare him. It's so easy to scare Josh. Sometimes I like to call him Jocelyn. Because when he screams, it's like a little girl. Ah! But here's the deal. It can either drive us or paralyze us, depending on how we respond. And if we respond in an improper fashion, if we respond by giving in and yielding to fear, we lose all the way around. What does fear do to us? It divides our minds. It shatters our emotions and impedes our progress. How many of you that got scared and didn't go through with what God told you to do? How many of you got scared and you wouldn't let go of that relationship because you was afraid of being alone? How many of you said, no, I can't start that business, or I can't do that because of fear? I'm not talking about counting the cost. I'm not talking about being mindful and thinking things through. But there are so many of us that have allowed fear to stop us from doing what God has called us. How many of us have said, no, I don't want to let go and let God because I'm afraid of what God might require out of me? I'm afraid to lift my hands. What would people think? I'm afraid to dance before the Lord. What would people think? I'm afraid to allow God to move in my life because what might people think? And we allow what people think and with a fear of what they're going to say to paralyze us. You need to get beyond that and go, I don't care what anybody says or who anybody is. Nobody on this planet saved me. Jesus saved me. So therefore, I'm going to give him praise. Therefore, I'm going to give him glory. I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to do what he's called me to do. Can you say amen? Experiencing fear is not a sin. Thank God. It's our response that matter. Fear itself is not a sin because sometimes fear protects us and motivates us. However, fear should not live in the life of God's children. Courage is defined is that attitude of mind and heart that enables us to face dangers, obstacles, and the challenges of life fearlessly, firmly, and calmly. If we're fearless, we'll prevail. But if we're fearful, we will fail. It's our choice. See, there are some folks who are so afraid of being alone that you will put up in a bad situation because you think nobody else, they have beat you down and beat you up so much that you think you can't do any better. Let me tell you something. Aloneness is not the absence of people, but the absence of direction. Because it doesn't matter if you got somebody around you or not. If you're going somewhere, it doesn't matter. You know that you're just there for a little while. You know you're not going to live there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I might be alone right now, but I'm never alone because God is my rock and God is my salvation. I may feel like I'm a little alone right now, but I won't always be like this because I'm headed somewhere. My direction is forward and not backward. I'm not going to stay here. I'm just passing through. I want to focus, though, on the fear of the dark. Too many of God's people seem they are in the dark and are scared of the dark. And when I was doing some research, I began to read fast facts on fear. And my Lord, I got excited. I was reading, I went, ooh, Let me just tell you a little bit. Fear of the dark is common. This is by Dr. Gail Conway. Not only among children, but adults too. Here's what she said. Scary images and stories, common objects and sounds we can't immediately identify because they are masked in darkness, fueled by our imagination and grow our fear of the dark. Now, the word declares this in Proverbs 29:18. My people perish for a lack of wisdom. We can't see what's going on, which is a lack of vision. is a lack of wisdom, a lack of vision. It's scary not to be able to see your way out of a situation. When you see yourself and you don't see the end of it, sometimes we become scared and paranoid and live in that dark and think that God has left us there. I want you to know that God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be with you. Can you say amen? For young children who do not yet, my God, I read this and I just about had myself a Holy Ghost fit. For young children who do not yet know the difference between reality and fantasy and depend on trusted adults to interpret the world, being left alone in the dark before they are ready can be traumatic and lead to a lifetime of sleepless issues. My God. Oh, good gracious alive. Now let me tell you this. Did you know that over 73% of children between the ages of 4 and 12 years of old have experienced fear of the dark? Here's why. Because we rely on our sense of sight when there is light. But our sense, when I read this, I had a Holy Ghost fit. We rely on our sense of sight when there is light, but our sense of hearing when it's dark. How many knows, man, if you ever lived in an old house? I lived in an old house that Moses built. And I'd lay back there in that dark, and I'd hear things, Brother Hampton. I was like, ooh, child. And I would sleep with my brother Jesse. Now, my brother Jesse was a bad mamma jamma. He was bad. He would fight. Everybody was. I almost got into a fight one time, and somebody hollered out, y'all know that's Jesse Reed's brother. And they begin to back down. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I didn't know you was Jesse's brother. I go, oh, no. All of a sudden, I got some confidence. I don't know. It was a couple of, no, y'all wanted to fight? Come on. Bring it. No, we're good. So I would sleep with Jesse because there was 11 of us. So you always had to sleep with somebody. Amen. There were so many of us on one bed, you know. We had a water bed before there ever was a water bed. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. And so I would sleep with Jesse. And I remember sometimes late at night I would hear things and Jesse would be asleep. And I would think if I lay here and I would hold my breath, because I would feel somebody or hear somebody that was in the room. And if I hold my breath, they're going to think I'm already dead. That's what I thought. That I'm already dead, so they're going to mess with Jesse. And Jesse's going to jump up and whoop somebody and I'm going to be saved. Based on what I heard, because I could not see. Somebody had to teach me the difference between reality and fantasy. Somebody had to teach me how to differentiate with the hearing of my ear of somebody being there and the house settling. My God, somebody needs to hear me right now. That you need to get your hearing checked in the spiritual. Maybe you can't see your way out, but you still hear the still small voice saying, I am with you. I will be with you always. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. We rely on the sense of sight. Sometimes God allows you to go into the dark so you will learn how to listen to His voice. Sometimes young children do not have the life experiences to distinguish what appears to be true from reality, or to have plausible explanation for what they don't understand. Consequently, young children rely on their rich imagination and magical beliefs to explain events and solve problems. And I have to say, so do Christians. I know some Christians who rely on magical beliefs to solve their problems. But I'm not talking about the Word of God, because the Word of God is not magical. The Word of God is truth. And you can stand on truth. Can you say amen? Now, the solution. Whew, this is from the doctor. This ain't even mine. But I read it. The solution to reduce children's fear of the dark is to help your infant, toddler, or young child feel safe and secure. Whew. You know, when my children were small, I would do what I call a wrap and snap. You know how when they in the hospital, how they wrap them up so tight? Man, I was the best wrapper upper that you could find. I could wrap them up tight. And you know what that feels? What I read is that the young infants, when they are wrapped up tight, they feel secure because that's the way they felt in the womb of their mother. Somebody needs to hear me. And I would wrap up Jillian and wrap up Lauren to make them feel secure so that they could sleep all night. Somebody hear me. That they might not could see the daylight, but they knew that they were secure because they felt secure. Some of us need to get into the arms of God and let Him wrap us in His Holy Spirit, wrap us in His Word, wrap us in His knowledge, and let us feel secure that it doesn't matter that I can't see, it doesn't matter that I don't know which way to go, because I am not the adult here. I'm still an infant, I'm still a child, but my Heavenly Father, He has a hold of me. He has caused me to be secure, and I will not be fearful. Can you say amen? Here's what she also said. That it's the responsibility of the parent. Their kindness, their patience that helps your child feel safe and grows their understanding of the dark. My Lord Jesus, God is trying to get us to understand and help us to grow in the dark places. In the dark places. That you ain't got to be fearful, that you can grow there. You can grow there. How many knows that if we don't go to sleep and it goes dark, if we don't go to sleep, our bodies don't heal? That's where we grow the most. That's where we repair the body. Honey, there are some dark places that God's trying to lead us down that you're kicking and screaming, trying to go against and trying to get out as fast as you can. And instead of trying to escape, you need to say, God, what are you trying to do while I'm here? Go ahead and let you have your perfect work in my life right now. Because listen, I understand that God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And once I feel safe with God, it doesn't matter where I'm at or what I'm in. I know that that I am secure. We stopped. We was in Mobile, and we was not in the greatest of neighborhoods in Mobile. And I stopped to get gas, and I asked my daughter Lauren. I said, Lauren, you want to go pay for it? She looked around. She said, I said, what's wrong? She said, I don't feel safe. I said, okay. So I finished paying, and I started going. And all of a sudden, she jumped out of the car. And she's with me now. I go, what are you doing? She said, well, I said, I didn't think you felt safe enough to come in. She goes, I'm with you now. I feel safe beside you. Are you listening to me? Man, I feel safe with God. I know that He'll never leave me. You see, listen, God's never threw me up and then walked away while I fell. My God, somebody. He never let me slide down a slide that He didn't catch me at the end. He never let me down and let me go. Listen, I want you to let's talk about Job for about, good gracious, I'm supposed to be done. Let me talk about Job for just a few minutes. Job goes through the darkest time of his life. In one day, he lost his fortune and all of his children. Another day, he's lost his health and most of his friends. And in Job, I want you to write this down. Job 12:22. He uncovers deep things out of darkness and brings the shadow of death to light. He uncovers deep things out of darkness. Listen, church. Job is giving a dissertation, answering his critics, and in the midst of his speech, he declares, God uncovers deep things out of the darkness. I've come by to tell you, you may feel like you're in a deep place or a dark place, but God uncovers deep things out of the darkness. Can I tell you that you may feel like you're going through hell right now, but God's getting ready to uncover some things in your life so that you won't have to be scared again. I wish somebody would help me praise Him. He was saying, here's what Job was saying. I'm not sure what he's doing, but I know he's doing something in me. And whatever he does in me, whatever he does to me, I know he's going to do me good. I might not understand it right now, but this I know. My Redeemer liveth. Now here's what happened. Job 19:25. I may not can see in the dark, but I can hear, and he declares that my Redeemer lives. And then out of the darkness, Job begins to see God truly for the first time. Out of the darkness, in Job 42:5, here's what he said. I think it's my next one. Yeah, he says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. I'm in the darkest part of, I'm in the darkest time of my life. But for the first time, I can see God. Are you listening to me? See, some of you only have a vision of what mama said God was. Some of you only have a vision of what daddy said God was. Some of you only have a vision of what the preacher said God was. You've never seen God for yourself. You've never seen God deliver you. You've never seen. So you got to go through some dark times to be able to see him. Even in the midst of the darkness, you've got to see him, because God uncovers deep things in the darkness. So God says that in this dark time, I'm about to bring the deliverance to you. I'm about to bring some things that you will never once again deal with again. Remember that in the dark, what he told, oh my God, remember in the dark what he told you in the light. Matthew 10:27 says, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. My God, you need to begin to tell things when you come out of the darkness. I thought I was going down, but Jesus somehow withhold me. I thought I was on my last day, but bless God, God somehow brought me through. You needed to proclaim it in the light, what God did and what God said to you in the night. Even when you can't see him, believe what he told you when he was with you. When you can't feel him, look back and remember what he told you when you knew that he was walking with you. When God gives you a word, write it down, claim it, and stand on the word that God had given you. That word will keep you when you search for him and can't find him. That word will sustain you when you feel you are all alone. I don't feel like praying, but I've got this word that I'm holding on to. My God, somebody hear me. I don't feel like praying, but I got this word. I don't feel like going, but I got this word that I'm hanging on to. I got this word that I'm holding on to. I don't feel like going. I don't feel like trying again, but I got this word that I'm holding on to. I don't feel like staying, but I got this word that I'm holding on. I don't feel like staying in this marriage, but I got a word from God in the dark times that he was going to heal my marriage. And I don't care what the devil says or how dark it might be, he's going to uncover some things, and I got this word. I don't have the faith to tithe, but God promised me that he would be my resource. I got a word on it. Oh, I'm preaching a lot better than you. Amen. I don't have the energy to go, but God told me I would walk in victory. God, I can't see you, but there is still a prophecy. There's a prophecy hanging over my head. How many's still got a prophecy hanging over your head? It ain't all come to pass yet. There's some things that God spoke over Ronnie Reed that he has yet to bring to pass. And until he does, I'm going to hold on to his unchanging hand. Come on back. Let me finish. Last thing. Adam was asleep. In Genesis chapter 2, the Bible said God caused the sleep to come on Adam. So Adam went dark. And out of Adam, God brought his greatest need. While he was dark, God brought what he didn't even know he needed. See, some of us don't even know what we need. We don't even know what we need. But in the dark, God brought Eve. And he said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Out of his darkness, something he didn't even know he was missing. Something he didn't even know he was doing without. See, listen, can I tell you? That, you know, I was number 10 out of 11 kids. We were Poe. We wasn't poor, we were po. We had an OR on layaway po. I didn't know we were po. I didn't know it. But I look back now and I think, good Lord, how could I not know it? People used to call me a hippie because I wore my hair long. But now that I'm older, I realized why. Because we got one haircut a year. So it's depending on where you caught me was where I was going to be a hippie or not. I realized that we got one pair of shoes a year. And prayerfully, it wasn't a hand-me-down. But most of the time it was. Most of my clothes were hand-me-downs. But I didn't know that I was poor until somebody told me. And some of you don't know that you're missing something until you go down a dark road and a dark time. And God brings out of you that which you didn't even know you were missing. He didn't know he was working while he was in the dark. You don't know what God's doing when you feel like you're in the dark. Learn to trust your Father. Stand to your feet. I'm trying to quit. My daughter asked me this one time, years before everybody had GPS on their phone. We would go different places. We travel. You know, I drive a lot. I put about 25,000 miles a year on my vehicle, not counting my wife's car and the amount of times that we fly. My youngest daughter asked me, Daddy, how do you know where everything is? And I said, honey, what you don't understand is I've been here before. Some of you wonder, how's God going? God, that ain't his first rodeo. God has been there before. God has been where you are before. Not only has he been where you are before, he's been where you are and delivered 1,000 people just like you out of it before. He brought them through the dark times. He brought them to the other side. I'm sure half of the folks here could look back across and go, I didn't think I was going to make it through that dark time, but the hand of God held me and sustained me. Come on, cut that up a little bit. Come on, give me a little bit more. I just want you to lift up your hands. You know where you're at. And I want you to make a decision. I'm not going to be afraid of the dark anymore. When I go in the dark, when I go into that dark place, I'm just going to begin to ask God, God, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to uncover? And let God do it. In the name of Jesus. Hey, 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 hey. Your robos. Come on, let's just take a few moments. I know we're supposed to be done. Our family training hours already started, but let's just take a few minutes. Come on, the altars are open. You need God to uncover some things while you're in the dark. Come on, just begin to step up. Come on, I know there's some folks here right now that you're going through it. You can't see your way out, but you're believing that God's going to see you through it. You're believing for a miracle. Come on, come on, come on. Sing it. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God. Be secure in who you are, church. Don't be afraid of the darkness any longer. Come on, lift up your hands and say, I'm not going to be afraid any longer. Oh, I believe you're the God. Yeah, I believe you're the God. I believe. Come on, lift your hands, church. Come on. Lord, I believe. Oh, I believe.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.